Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
It is 6:35 in Edmonton. Final half hour of Oilers Now, brought to you by World of Spas. You just heard from Bob. We've been going through the catalog of memories for the late, great broadcaster, Bob Cole. And now I'm joined in studio by the host of the next program on these airwaves. That is Inside Sports, and that means Reed Wilkins here. Reed, a bit of a solemn tone today, and, you know, it's... I guess a time to reflect on the greatness of Bob Cole, really.
I mean, anybody who is a hockey fan in Canada for the last 50-ish years has some kind of a Bob Cole memory and his voice on some sort of a call that they'll have an emotional reaction to. Maybe it was your team winning a game or a championship, or maybe it was your team being on the wrong end of something, but he was on all those big moments, right? And he got to do the Olympics, you know, once the pros went. And, of course, 2002 was a big call for him. And mm-hmm. I know he's, over the years, did a lot of Leafs games and a lot of Canadiens games. I remember even in the late 80s, he'd often stay, because then Boston beat the Canadiens a couple times, right? Like, he would stay on the Eastern Series, even though the Oilers might be in it. I remember people used to complain about that. Like, well, why is Bob Cole, who calls Canadian games all year, not... But, you know, I think they just kept them out East. Anyway, that's a bit of a tangent there. But an incredible career, and it's cool he's on the Oilers Cups. It's cool he's on the Cujo save and the Marchand goal. Yep. And Rudy's going to talk about the Easter Epic. And he's also called the Eric Desjardins hat-trick goal in Game 2 of the 1993 Stanley Cup Final that Kelly allowed. That was the stick measurement game.
Oh, yeah.
When the Canadiens called for a stick measurement and Desjardins tied it on the power play and then won it in overtime. So, yeah, I mean, this is just what I remember, all these great games he was a part of. And it's like I was saying to Bryn, the national play-by-play people are – just as probably more famous than a lot of the players, except for the absolute stars, but they're around longer and they get to do every big game. It's not just, you know, McKinnon, McDavid, whoever. They're not going to play in every conference final and Stanley Cup final. And you think, you know, Pat Summerall and John Madden and guys like that in football, and, you know, Jim Nantz in the States has football and golf and did a bunch of Final Fours. So all these guys, year after year, it's like, okay, well, what do I remember? Okay, yeah, that guy made that basket, or that guy made that. What did Bob Cole say? Oh, yeah, that's the year he said scores this way, or this was his cadence, and people try to copy it and imitate it. And the power of that connection and that play-by-play voice, I think, you know, to tie it in something locally, I think I told you this. I can't remember if I told it on air or not, but it was last season. I went to a Golden Bears hockey game with my dad. So we were sitting in the crowd, and there was three or four university age gentlemen behind me, and they were watching the game and having fun, and they started doing Jack Michaels impressions.
No way.
Oh yeah. It was just, you know, they're doing like pulsating hockey, and you know, down the stretch we come, and they're kind of mock calling the Bears game as Jack would do it. And I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, and that's what Bob Cole was like. I mean, a lot of people have their Bob Cole impression or their Bob Cole moment. And again, just his voice on so many incredible hockey moments. I mean, when you reach the top of your profession, I mean, Cuthbert's, I guess, that guy now. He's going to call the Stanley Cup Final in Canada. Jim Hewson did it for a few years after Bob Cole. Now those are the guys that are going to have their voices on everything.
Well, and what I find so fascinating about this conversation is generation to generation, obviously, it's the same effect with different voices. So my Bob Cole, sentimentally or nostalgically, if you will, is Jim Houston, because I grew up in BC with Jim calling Vancouver Canucks games and then eventually migrating to the main call and getting to hear him call the 2010 Stanley Cup, you know. So there's that relationship that, again, I say millions of Canadians have with Bob Cole. Who is your favorite? I mean, do you have a favorite? Not just hockey.
Oh, man.
You're a big golf guy. I mean, is there anything better than when Jim Nantz says, hello, friends?
Well, Lundqvist calling the Tiger chip in 2005. You know, golf's different, though, because it's such a slower pace. You almost have to... Golf is about... sometimes saying as little as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great thing about Lundqvist calling that. He's just, the ball's rolling closer to the hole. What does he say? Oh, my.
Yeah.
Because like, that's what everybody's thinking. You don't have to say, especially on TV, you don't have to say, and it's rolling, and it's going to stop. No, it's still rolling. And then once it dropped in, he just goes, oh, wow, because that's what everybody's saying in your living room. But that's the... I think Bob Cole was good at that too. And watching a lot of his highlights, or watching slash listening, you know, going on YouTube and hearing stuff that Brian and you and other people, Dave, downloaded and put in our folders. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that goal. You know, it's that ability to tell the story and not overdo it. And that's a huge talent. And maybe for some people it comes naturally, but I also think you have to work at it because, you know, and clearly radio and TV are a little different too. Like, I think Jack, who gets to do both, I think he's a little different on TV than radio. Not hugely, like it's still Jack, but I think it's a little different. But I guess that moment in golf. I mean, I think for me, certainly Bob Cole is up there. I've always been a huge Chris Cuthbert fan.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons, but initially because when I was sort of, you know, becoming, getting into my teens and realizing that I really like sports and was really interested in broadcasting, and, you know, then on Friday, Saturday night, you can stay up late. I mean, I didn't go out a lot, but like Cuthbert was doing, and at that point for me, I had two channels, right, growing up north of Evansburg. You got CBC and you got Edmonton and you got CFRN. To get ITV, we had a thing called a rotor, that a little device that we turned to have to spin our aerial on our roof. So when we watched Oilers games, we had to spin the aerial to get the reception out of White Court instead of Edmonton or something like that. So we didn't watch a lot of ITV news. So CBC had a better sports package on Friday and Saturday, which was when there was a lot of games. They do all the NHL highlights, you know, baseball, maybe there was CFL. So that's when I first started to like Cuthbert. I mean, Gordon Miller was there. I think Jamie Campbell was there a little bit later on. But Cuthbert was a guy I watched the most. And then he got to host playoff games. And then he started doing play-by-play. So I sort of feel like, just from a fan and an admirer, I followed his career. And then I interviewed him for my career investigation to get into Nate. And now, you know, I get to interview him every couple of years, probably, which is, and he's like the nicest guy.
I think
he's
it's
like
fascinating.
The nicest guy.
Both you and I, who went to Nate, I don't know, probably call it 15 years apart, maybe more, both had to do the same assignment to get into the program. That is phenomenal. That's a standard that you uphold.
Yeah, you got to do a career investigation. He was one of the people I talked to. Dennis Bayak, I talked to as well. Dennis Bayak had a good call. I mean, there's a lot, but here's the thing. If you're calling, and I think a lot of people, I mean, we could probably call anybody in any other NHL market, who's your favorite play-by-play guy? They'd probably say their guy, because that's the person they associate with. And if you're calling, if you're the play-by-play voice of a team in the Big Four in North America, so that's what, 122, well, I guess if there's rate, whatever. You're elite, so you should be pretty good. Like, there shouldn't be someone where it's, well, they're kind of sloppy, right? They only know 3/4 of the players' names. So you should. But again, that's what I was saying, too, about Bob Cole and other people, you know, being able to recognize the moment. Because I almost feel, and maybe this goes for broadcasting in general, but you have to speak to potentially millions of people if you're doing a television game nationally.
Or
if
you're doing a radio show.
If you're doing a Stanley Cup final, well, Inside Sports, we're locked at 14, not million,
million.
14.
14
we're
total.
Locked at 14 total listeners.
Okay.
But so you have to be able to do something that's big enough to hear for the masses, but you also have to make it sound like, hey, I'm just sitting next to you, like I'm just talking to you, to that one person.
Right.
And again, to go back to that golf call, that's what made it great about what Vern Lundquist did. The ball goes in, he exclaims, oh, wow. Because that's what a guy who's maybe watching by himself on the couch is saying, or two or three people, they're all going, oh, wow. So Vern doesn't need to say, the ball went in the hole, everybody. Look at that. Oh, wow. Look, I'm with you. I can't believe it either. It went in. And again, Bob, a lot of Bob's Coles calls were just his scores, you know, and quick little pause, and then it's tied 2-2, and then let it breathe a little bit, and you know, then Harry Neal or whoever would pop in.
The scene sets
itself. I don't
even
know if I'm answering your questions. I just like talking about broadcasting.
Oh, that's good. That's hopefully people like listening to us talk about broadcasting. But to me, you know, you get somebody talking about their passion, and I think that that's so fascinating to see Bob Cole living and executing his passion, not for a brief amount of time. He didn't bounce around. You know, he did that job for 50 years. He called a game in the Stanley Cup final, in every cup final from 1980 to 2008.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, you know, longevity is there. He didn't, maybe not overdoing it allows you to appeal to that many more people and allows you for that kind of career longevity.
Well, and that's amazing in that role, because you don't get to call the Stanley Cup final straight out of school, right? Either. You gotta work your way up to get that.
Craig says that he had the same TV stations as you, Reed, except that they couldn't afford one of the rotators, so they spun the house instead.
That's awesome. His house was on a giant turntable.
Yeah, just get a dolly under there.
I'm glad some people understand what I'm saying when I bring that up, because I feel like that's so antiquated. And even when we spun the aerial, it still wasn't perfect reception on ITV. It was fairly snowy, but the Oilers were on Wednesday Night Hockey, were their game of the week or whatever. And sometimes we'd watch in the playoffs, especially if the Oilers weren't playing, my dad and I would try to watch a Montreal Canadiens game off CBC French out of Edmonton. Oh, like I remember Claude Lemieux scoring in 86 against the Whalers in game 7 overtime. And like it's hard to describe like how snowy the reception was. Like you could tell he scored, but luckily you could hear the "il boo," you know.
"Il boo." I don't even know.
But I'm glad there are people who remember having two or three channels living outside of Edmonton and possibly having to spin your aerial to get other channels. Like now, that's why now sometimes I wake up on a Sunday and I'm like, how do I have access to 5 NFL games simultaneously? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And they're all in high def.
It's great. NFL Red Zone is absolutely fantastic. NFL Draft is ongoing right now. Some rotten person on the text line is really upset with the way the last 15 minutes have gone, and I just don't really care. We're going to throw it a break right now. More with Reed coming up.
Hi, this is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Big thanks to you for tuning in for the three-hour show today. We're back down to 2 hours tomorrow to get you set for that Game 3 in Los Angeles. And hey, thanks to you, Reed, for spending a little time with me here, looking back on Bob Cole's career. And frankly, we've got a big big listenership in Evansburg, evidently, because we've got a lot of positivity flowing in on the text line, specifically with respect to the television reception and what they had to do to get it.
Everybody understands. Unless you had one of those giant dishes, like the SETI-sized satellite dishes. Is it SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence? that they have the giant dishes?
That sounds a little more X-Files than I'm familiar
with. All right,
with.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, I can picture it. I just I couldn't tell you what the acronym means. So no doubt more coming up on the loss
Kelly
of Bob
Rooney
Cole.
Tonight, we'll talk about Bob Cole working with him. And Kelly will have some thoughts on Stuart Skinner and the Oilers Kings series. Morley Scott will hop on. Of course, he would have got to know Bob Cole during his career as well. And Joel Lenius, the coach of the Edmonton Oilers junior, how do they call it? They have colors. Edmonton Oilers white is the women's team that's at the SO Cup, and they're doing quite well. So we'll get an update there.
Right on. Looking forward to that. That's coming right up here. I'm keeping an eye on the NFL draft, and we'll be doing that when I get home. But, hey, we got a pretty important hockey game as this series continues this weekend. Bob's back tomorrow at 4:30. Yes, I keep screwing that up. But it's 4 hours. It's 4 hours prior to a puck drop. And as one listener pointed out, prepare yourself for maybe even a little bit later than 8:30. That's the way it goes at this time of year. But the guys on the ice hopefully going to make it worth it. I understand that there's some trepidation based on the types of goals that beat Stuart Skinner, but this Oilers team is a team that was feared by, I think, most coming into the playoffs. We don't want to play this group because over seven games, you got to like Edmonton's chances. So maybe they don't lose another one, and maybe that winning starts tomorrow night. But again, more coming up on the sports front right here on these very airwaves. I am going to say goodbye to you. I appreciate everybody who texted in, except that one that we highlighted. But you know what? I had about eight or nine people shoot me a text thereafter and say, you guys are amazing. So thank you so much to everybody for sharing the positivity, and hopefully we have more of that to talk about after a big Game 3 win. We'll wrap it all up now, and then we'll talk about it all on Monday when we get back. This day in Oilers history is brought to you by New West Travel. Explore Southeast Asia on a chartered river cruise next March. Call or visit newwesttravel.com. 1985, Wayne Gretzky scored a hat trick. Add four assists, tally it up, 7 points in an 8-3 victory over the Winnipeg Jets at Northlands. They sweep the Smythe Division final in four games. Yari Curry was all over it too, a hat trick and an assist. We got Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli coming up tomorrow. He's brought to you by the horses. Horse Racing Alberta. Live racing returns May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more, go to thehorses.com. Thomas has the news, and then Reed has Inside Sports. Brendan Escott saying so long.